The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host. I may not sound like it, but I am. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Wednesday, third day of April. See, this is what happens when you're out of the loop and off the planet for more than a week. At any rate, good evening, folks. This is a woman that I've been wanting to get on. And she is a registered Democrat, and she's also been a member of the ACLU's Florida State Board of Directors, president of the ACLU Treasure Coast chapter, an environmental lobbyist, staff members for the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. She is on a trek that hopefully most people take on this country, folks, and that's finding out the real reasons why things are going on the way they are. I mean, this is the listeners to this network, and particularly this show, you know the horror stories. We've been there every day spelling them out to the point of sometimes almost nauseam, I guess you could call it. But at any rate, I've got Rennie Parsons with me today. Rennie, are you there?
Yes, hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Better than I think you are.
I have you on for an hour, and I might make it an hour today, so we'll see.
Okay.
You recently wrote an article, and this was in the news a couple of weeks ago, and the issue was on dual citizenship. And how mm-hmm. this started was this House of Representative member in, I do believe it was Wisconsin, was making...
Minnesota.
Do you remember the woman's name?
Oh, her last name is O-M-A-R, and her first name, I think, is I-L-H-A-N, Ilhan Omar. And she's not Yemen, she's Somali.
Which is very fascinating unto itself, but...
Yeah, she came here as a child.
Yeah. She, how this all started was she simply... was asking what the policy is with the United States and Israel. And I don't know, Rennie, if you pay much attention to the news medias, but every talking head, and I don't care if they were on Fox News, I don't care if they were on MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post, it did not matter. The fluff and the fury that came out of questioning our ties with Israel in the Middle East, I've explained to people, when you hit a raw nerve and you see something like this come back at you, that tells you a lot. That speaks volumes. Well, you and I were talking about politics. Now, you're a registered Democrat, but you're also a person that understands the difference between right and wrong, like most of us do, or most of us would like to think that we do. And as I look, Rennie, at the goings-on in our country today, I'm looking at the people like Bernie Sanders, self-proclaimed socialist, Ocasio-Cortez, 29-year-old bartender with a gift of gab that somebody loaded her up with money and said, here, have at it. Her new Green Deal. And all the insane socialistic slash communistic stuff that you can imagine is pouring forth from these people. It's getting so bad that a lot of the Democrats in the Democrat Party can't distance themselves fast enough away from these people. But I've got a question. If you're going to be a seated representative, be it in the U.S. Senate or the House of Representatives, and there's that little protocol thing that you have to go through, I think it's, I pledge, well, that's right, you have to pledge the allegiance to your country and what law that you're basing you taking that office. And what I'm getting around to here is you have to take an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution. How can a socialist with a straight face, let alone it be legal, raise a right hand, and raise a right hand to what? I don't know. Swear to myself, swear at you, swear at somebody. God's kind of been left out of the equation. But how can a socialist or a communist take a public office and assume the seat when they're clearly not going to follow the law or the Constitution?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, so I can't not answer. I don't know what socialism is, I guess. I hear all these words bandied around. I mean, is Medicare socialistic? Is Social Security socialistic? I think they may be.
Yeah, it is.
They benefit the people, and that's all I care about. That's sort of my bottom line, is if something benefits the people. But we've gotten into a situation now where, you know, the powers that be, if they could get away with scrapping either Medicare or Social Security, it would be gone. You know, Obama kind of raised those potentials when he was in office, and all hell broke loose, and that so didn't happen. But in any case, I'm not hung up on the title, the name for the titles. I'm a registered Democrat only because I grew up a registered Democrat. I was once a passionate Democrat because I thought they believed in the working people. And I've now just had a complete turnaround. And I'll probably stay a Democrat only because I might want to vote in the 2020 primary election, you know, but if they have anybody that's ready, I can vote for.
If there's anybody, I mean, there's, what, 20 people in the field right now. And I nary see one of them that it's worth even a walk to the ballot box for.
Yeah. But maybe I'm an unusual Democrat, but I'm an analytical person, and I'm a critical thinker, and I want facts and evidence. I don't take things at face value, and I've never taken things like that at face value. So if you can't give me the data, you know, Dolly Parton once said, I love this about Dolly Parton, she said, give me the facts, I'll decide for myself. And I thought that was a pretty good motto if we Americans just adopted that. And I think this whole kerfuffle that's going on after the Mueller report came in with its decision, you know, if people had taken the time and the energy to do their own homework, they wouldn't be so surprised because there were never any facts there. there was never any evidence there.
No, there wasn't. And
there was not even a cause to launch an investigation.
Well, Rennie, we pretty much nailed this down. We know how the information, where it came from, how it got to WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. He's the one that put it out. We had the Fox, and I say Fox, F-A-U-X, Sean Hannity, that took a trip over to England to the embassy over there to sit down face-to-face with Julian Assange, and he wanted to know where this information came from. Did it come from Russia? Where did it come from, Julian? Did it come from the United States? And Assange said, look, I'm not going to divulge that because this is an open platform for information, and it is not divulged who turns that information over. Well, what we've discovered, where that actually came from, was a thumb drive that Seth Rich decided that he didn't like what was going on in the Democrat Party and started blowing the whistle on Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, and sundry other things. Now, this is the guy, the young man, that ended up with three bullets in the back in Washington, and they said that, oh, it was a robbery. Nothing was taken. And robbers usually don't put three slugs in your back when they're there to rob you. Seth Rich was the one responsible for leaking this information to Julian Assange, hence the rest of the world.
Well, it appears that way. It definitely appears that way. You know who Bill Binney is? Bill Binney was 35 years with the NSA. He was the NSA technical director for analysis. And then I think he co-founded something called the NSA Signal Intelligence Center. And so he did an independent forensic analysis to figure out where that data came from. Where did that WikiLeaks information come from? And he was the first one, I think, which you're quoting, is that it was leaked, not hacked, it was leaked by a person with physical access to the DNC computer.
Yep.
Physical access to the DNC computer. And then keep in mind also that the DNC refused to turn their computers over to the FBI for forensic testing.
Well, and all the while... go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the other piece of this that I'm going to be following is that Mueller's report, apparently, Barr quoted from it in his four pages. I hope you all read that. Hope everybody's read Barr's four pages. You need to go read that if you haven't. It's online. And it's not dense at all. You know, the average citizen can certainly read it and understand it. But one of the things that's in that document, Barr is quoting the Mueller report, and he says that the DNC data was downloaded. Wait a minute, do I have the right thing? No, wait. I'm missing something. Well, he quotes that the Russians basically were the people who were responsible for that download. And that's ridiculous because that wasn't at all the case.
Well,
here it is.
Go ahead.
Here it is. Let me just read this, John. The special counsel found that the Russian government actors had successfully hacked into computers and obtained emails from persons affiliated with the Clinton campaign, the Democratic Party organization, and publicly disseminated those materials throughout various intermediaries, including WikiLeaks. So Mueller is saying, apparently, that the Russians hacked the DNC computers, and that's where the emails came from. And this is more of this anti-Russian campaign, you know, that Trump's been hit with, that they're the mortal enemy. So that's in direct contradiction to what Bill Binney has been saying, which is that no hack occurred, no hack took place. It was leaked. And as you say, it was leaked to a person who had a thumb drive or a CD-ROM.
Well,
the Mueller report.
Yeah.
When we get to look at the final, you know, the big copy, it will be interesting to look at that because I think that's part of the deep state's agenda is to continue putting us on a war footing with Russia wherever we can.
Well, and this is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever seen. When Donald Trump took office, his idea was Vladimir Putin wasn't the boogeyman. And if you notice the rhinos and the now, thank God he's gone, John McCain, and the ilk of his type, there was never a war that they didn't like or one that they wouldn't start. So the state has to have a boogeyman in which to carry on doing business, let's just say. And I'm looking at this. Trump won a dialogue with Vladimir Putin. If the Russian government had anything to do with the dissemination of the information here, somebody sent it to Vladimir Putin over a Yahoo account or a Hotmail account after it was public knowledge, because we've traced this down, and factually, I would bet my left foot on it that the information that we have and tracing that it went from Seth Rich to Julian Assange disseminated there.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the Hillary Clinton Foundation? Where's all the crime and the corruption that the Clintons were involved with? And this seems to be an ongoing two-year-plus smokescreen to tire people out on the issue of emails or whatever else. What Hillary Clinton did, and God knows, and people in the intelligence agencies, they know probably better than anybody in the NSA or the FBI, whatever. I mean, we can track and trace Hillary and Bill going back to Arkansas. We've seen what they have done. We know the... It's like a criminal cabal that once it gets big enough, nobody dares go against it. Well, it appears to me that there were people that were recruited. I mean, James Clapper and people of this nature. I mean, look what they're... John Brennan. Look what they're doing now. They're now working for CNN or MSNBC. Right. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, my God, how deep, when we talk about deep state in this country, it's not the forefront that you see the actors on the stage. It's who's setting the agenda and pulling the strings behind that curtain. Kind of like the... go ahead.
I was just going to say that now that the Mueller report is in, and I don't know if you follow Judicial Watch at all, but they're a wonderful
I do. Larry Klayman.
Civil liberties organization.
Yep. Larry Klayman.
Yeah, and they're doing a lot. They're doing a lot of follow up now. They have been this whole time, but they're doing a lot of follow up now with regard to getting more data and more evidence on Brennan and Clapper in particular right now. So I think the question is going to be: is the Republican establishment going to go after these crimes? Is the Republican Department of Justice going to go after these crimes? Because for me, the Republican establishment is pretty mealy-mouthed. And I've been disappointed in they've really, during this two-year time period while the Mueller report was going on, the investigation was going on, they were pretty much in the background, other than a few House members, you know, kind of... Wild Ducks and the House Intelligence Committee, like Trey Gowdy and Jim Jordan and some of those guys. But the Senate doesn't have that. And so it's really up to the Senate, because that's where the Republicans have the votes, to conduct a formal investigation. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see if the Republicans, the Republican establishment, has the mojo to do the kind of investigation that needs to be done.
Well, excuse me for saying this, Rennie, but I've got this sneaking suspicion, I've had it for a number of years, that Donald Trump, I'll give you an example of this, Donald Trump, New York real estate dude, okay, built gambling houses. He did a lot of different things in real estate. And he was friendly with all the politicians, whether they be on the left, the right, in the middle, not politically correct, or connected, rather, it didn't matter. He basically said that I was friends with everybody. Here was a guy that went into office, was not a politician. He was looking and eyeballing the White House and the trials and the travails this country is going through. And he says, you know, I think I might be able to help. I think I might be able to do this. Well, he goes out, does his stump speeches, draws tens of thousands of people. You're hard-pressed to get 500 in a room for Hillary Clinton. And people had had enough of Hillary Clinton. But what Donald Trump was saying was going right to the core of what people wanted in this country. They wanted their jobs back. They wanted the illegals the hell out of the country. You know, there was a lot of things on that political plate that was being tossed around that people agreed with. Now, there's some that Donald Trump has carried through and delivered on, and there's some that he has not. If we have time, we'll explore this issue a little bit more. But, you know, just because we have the ability to do something doesn't necessarily mean that we should. And I'll give you a classic example. You said that you didn't know what socialism was. Well, yeah, I do. Basically, socialism is when you have a good idea and you want everybody to take part in it and you're willing to use other people's money, whether they want to or not, against your wishes to do greater good. Let's pick this up on the other side of this break. My guest today is Rennie Parsons. She has written a book. It's being published now. We'll talk about that before I let her go today. This is the National Intel Report, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm your very hoarse host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
No one can decide what we all must outrun. Who's gonna carry the weight of the world until we learn to stop and do what must be done? This ain't no Shangri-La.
We are back. Rennie, I was thinking about this during the break. I'll give you the classic example of socialism. And on such a massive scale, people scarcely realized it for what it was. We had this little banking crisis that happened back in 2008. Now, was the public ever told by the Federal Reserve or any responsible lending commercial bank on Wall Street? No. And I confirmed this with a J.P. Morgan Chase guy that was down from New York in the fall of 2009. Now, we just done the TARP bailout, $700 million. But that was just a start of opening up the purse strings. Then we started the quantitative easing. What was done under the Obama administration, and as I said, this is socialism on steroids. They were shoveling money at the failed lending institutions, at American corporations, foreign lending institutions, foreign corporations, throwing around trillions of dollars, and then managed to put the onus and the repayment for that money, which, by the way, juice or the interest is running on that money, right on the backs of the American people. Now, they like to refer to us as being shareholders or sharing in the American dream. No, what they did is sat there and witnessed what anybody with eyes to see and ears to hear witnessed: the takedown of the monetary systems worldwide by the international banks to the tune of somewhere between $1 and $1.4 quadrillion dollars. A quadrillion is $1,000 trillion. That's a lot of debt. And then, because the government, well, it's not supposed to be a corporation, it's not supposed to make money, it just lays and collects taxes and revenues from different sources and then pays its bills. That's what we're told. But in this case, there was no benefit. I was not a stakeholder or a shareholder. I didn't get any checks from these people. I watched them manipulate an entire monetary system, mortgage-backed securities, selling insurance against that, and on and on and on it went. There's a big economic hole in the world tonight, and they made sure that they were going to fill it up with our money or our labors. Let me put it a little bit differently. That is classic socialism. Now, did that problem start under Barack Obama? No, it did not. But during his 8-year term, he certainly took care of business. And again, you know, here's the mantra, is that what's better for society, what benefits society? Well, that's somebody's decision. And somehow they make a policy out of it, or somehow they make recommendations, and it comes by way of rules or regulations. Obamacare couldn't even pass the smell test. You saw what they did at the Supreme Court. The decision was there that, okay, well, how do we get around this one? Oh, well, that's right. Congress has the right to lay and collect taxes. That's their job. What this was a national mandate for health care that they weren't going to allow you to wiggle out of. There was talk about jail term and time and fines and fees and whatever else. So how does the Supreme Court wiggle out of this one? Oh, well, the Congress, they can lay and collect taxes. That's our ruling. Goodbye. What? Rennie, do I still have her?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm listening. Well, I just think that both parties are at fault. I mean, neither party has done anything about the debt, and both parties keep driving it up, and it's insane. It's crazy.
Well, and especially when you look at the Federal Reserve is not a constitutional entity.
It's a private bank.
It's a private corporation for profit. And whether they're making dollar bills or they're making bottles of soda, who cares? They're producing a commodity for profit. But it has nothing to do with money. That's what's been substituted for our exchange for labor and goods.
Mm-hmm.
And people are starting to find out about that. You're seeing the yellow vest in France. What the medias aren't really reporting to you is what set these people off in Paris was when the already overpriced per gallon price of gasoline over there, the French government decided, oh, well, we're going to help fund the endeavors for global warming. Yeah, that's what we're going to use that money for. And when that hit France, people said, no, that's enough. We've had enough of your recklessness. And if anybody believes that any government on the face of this planet is going to collect fees to combat global warming, you got another thing coming. Everybody is choking to death in debt. That's where that money is going to go first. I can guarantee you that. This is another world taxation model that they're trying to push over. And Gallup is now claiming that, oh, well, 60% of the people now polled believe that global warming is man-made. Well, we can argue till the cows come home, or at least the cows fart. There's methane for you. You know, another evil thing that we've got to get rid of. But, Rennie, the whole thing is cockeyed and upside down. Because we can do a thing doesn't necessarily mean we should do that thing. And I, for one, are for dumping Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, getting the government out of business of education, getting them out of the things that they were not designed to deal with. Let's leave that simmer for a 3-minute break, Rennie. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. Talking with Rennie Parsons today. And what is the name of the book that's coming out?
Well, the title right now is, and it may change because it's changed a few times already, it's called Initiation into the Quantum World. Pretty heady stuff.
Yeah, it is. Well, you recently did an article, and we started out on the issue here of dual citizenship, and you're on this path right now of discovery. Now, I'm the only reason that I do what I do, the only reason I created a radio network, is because I saw a problem with how the news was being reported, what was being reported on, how it was being reported on. And, you know, we had our choice of the MSNBC out there or Fox News. And, well, since Rupert Murdoch has stepped down, his liberal sons have taken over. And you can already see the effects on Fox News.
Can you? How do you see it? I know they've hired, what's her name?
Donna Brazile, for one.
Donna Brazile, I was shocked to hear that.
And they, what's the retread? What's the retread from public broadcasting? They have him on the five. I'll think of his name here in a second. But they,
Juan Williams.
Juan Williams. Yes. And you know, they're and the guests that they bring on, or the contributors that they bring on, you know, anymore. People that understand how our system of government is supposed to work, who's supposed to have responsibility, you know, just how things are. When I was growing up, we didn't, we were pretty much all conservative, Blue Dog Democrats. These people, well, they were in the Democrat Party, but they recognized the law of the land, they recognized the Constitution. And everybody pretty much walked on eggshells, that nobody really wanted to cross that line and get into areas that the government really shouldn't be in. And what I said before the break about Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and the government with its program over the public, I like to call it the public fool system, you know, they've given us every imaginable thing that they said, oh, this is going to increase the learning capabilities of our young children. And what it has turned out is this millennial generation that doesn't have the capacity to think. They're being told pretty much what to think, not how to think, not to problem solve. When I was going to school, Rennie, one of the first things they made sure that you knew how to do was read, but not just be able to not just be able to read and write and spell. But it was, what are you getting out of your... So we had reading classes. We had the equivalent of speed reading and comprehension. You know, what is it you just read? Okay, you read it quickly, but what is it you just read? Play back to me what your mind is telling you that your eyes just delivered to your brain. So it was critical thinking. That was important for people to problem solve for themselves, because they didn't have a mother forever. There wasn't somebody that was going to be there holding your hand forever. That you were going to go out in the world, you're going to make your own way, you're going to have to make decisions based on the best information that you had to, for the betterment and continuance of your own life. Now it seems to be that more people are turning to government for solutions. And, and I looked at this years ago. I looked at Medicaid and Medicare. I mean, my God, just to administer that. It has turned into a bureaucracy unto itself. And I once said that, look, for what they're spending every year, for all people that are enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid right now, they could literally write these people a check for $1 million apiece. You want to talk about socialism? There'd be a classic in-your-face example. But just say, for the sake of argument, that the government wrote every one of these recipients a check for $1 million with a little note enclosed. This is all you're going to get. This is all you're ever going to get. Spend wisely. We could have done away with Medicare and Medicaid, not taken on any new enrollees into that system. Same goes for Social Security. Where is it written in the Constitution that the government should be there for retirement benefits that they have? Well, there is no lockbox. They've gotten into that many times and robbed it. It's always broke. When it's actually the employers and the people's money themselves that put into these accounts that are now non-existent. Why? Because they have been robbed. The fire.
Well, and another.
Yeah, go ahead.
And another issue for me, because I bother to take care of myself and I'm a healthy person, is that most Americans don't. They either have diabetes or they have heart problems or whatever else they have that requires a lot of medication. And I look at people, you know, at any of the supermarkets who can't walk and who are in motorized vehicles, and I think, you know, it's a lot healthier if you got up off of that chair and walked.
Well, and look in, then look into their little shopping basket as to what foods they're putting in there.
The, see all the garbage that sugar and all the fat,
processed foods,
and all the wrong things, all processed foods, right, and non-organic, you know,
right.
So I mean, it's like, and there's no reason why people cannot make better choices. Because there's all kinds of information online about health issues and food issues and organic food. And, you know, I mean, it's all there. And So it kind of is a pushes my button, I guess, that, you know, we're paying for that. We're paying for that. I have a number of friends who are in health situations where they're on Medicare and they're getting lots of medical assistance, and we're paying for that because they haven't taken care of themselves. They've let themselves get overweight. They've let themselves contract with whatever different ailments they're carrying around with them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part, I think, of what you're talking about, though, is self-responsibility and self-sufficiency.
Well, and I'm starting to see a change here, because it was suggested a couple of years ago that if you didn't like what the federal government was doing, you could do this at state level. Now, mm-hmm. the way this government was constructed, we got a federal government. It's got a constitution. We've got the 50 sovereign entities out there. They're called states. And ironically, they all have their own state constitutions that mirror the federal constitution pretty closely. There are some variances, but nothing major. And this was the, as I did, this was not written for the people. These were written for the respective governments, state or federal, that this was, here's your coloring book, here's your crayons, don't color outside the lines. And this is the thou shalt not list, I always like to call it. And as long as it was adhered to pretty well, things went around pretty smoothly. I won't say totally smoothly. But now we have a government that's filling the needs of the people, and they're emptying the coffers, and the coffers of any amount of money that can be gathered by future generations. I was talking to Ron Paul, and I gave an erroneous figure on national debt, and he looked at me, and he said, you're kind of a little behind the times. He said the debt, and here's a guy that sat on the House Banking Committee in Washington, D.C. as a congressman. He was a congressman for over 20 years. He was known on the Hill as being Dr. No. Why? Because he would only vote on bills that passed a constitutional muster, which meant he didn't vote on a whole lot of things. So here's a man, and he comes out and he tells me, he said, John, he said, the federal government, its duty and obligations, past, present, and future debt obligations, are well over $150 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody, Rennie, is not paying attention. Because we had just, we're in what, going on the 13th year of endless war in the Middle East?
Mm-hmm. I think in Afghanistan it's more than that.
It very well might be. Millions of people dead over reasons real and imagined and supposed. I can remember some of the testimony that was given. A yellow cake and... Well, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. That, in fact, if he had any chemical weapons or any of that sort of stuff, which here is record, and it was sold, Donnie Rumsfeld was in there engineering the sale to Saddam Hussein, as long as they went and fought the Iranians. It was okay for the United States to supply him to do that. But here we come. Now it's seven countries have got to fold their tent. We got to have regime change. We're building governments. We're wrecking them and rebuilding governments in the Middle East. And we're not even calling this a war. We have not had a declared war since World War II. All of these are, or you can call them police actions, but they're really not policing actions. But here we have waged war against people that pose no threat against the United States. Millions of people dead. People scattering all over the globe to try to get out from under the hailstorm, the death from above. And here nobody is paying attention to this. I'm looking at this, Rennie, and it's making me crazy. Because we're so far in debt. We have pissed so many people off on this planet. We've unnecessarily killed tens of thousands, if not millions, of their fellow countrymen. And we wonder why they might be angry at us.
Yeah. Well, we've made some powerful karma, and we're going to have to answer for it, unfortunately. But, you know, Saddam Hussein's big problem was that he threatened the petrodollar, and so did Gaddafi. And that just cannot be allowed.
Well, you're talking about the oil bourse there. And again, You know, this world is awash in oil. this thing about, it's...
Nicaragua has more oil than Saudi Arabia. Why do you think Trump is, you know, they're talking now about going to war with Venezuela?
Yeah, but it's stuff that we do not need. We've got up in Alaska, we have got so much natural gas. We got to pump that stuff back down in the ground. The Japan is taking more than half of that oil from us through these foreign corporations. When it, in my estimation, if it's coming out of Alaskan ground, it should be for America. It should be for the United States, not some foreign entity. They were talking at one time building a second and third pipeline to take care of the demand for oil inside the United States. Well, something funny happened along the way. All of a sudden, this peak oil story disappeared. Because the Earth is actually regenerating its oil supply, but now we're in a mad dash against anything fossil, coal, anything else. I don't know where Ocasio Cortez thinks she's going to have the power to power a coffee maker in the morning, or a blender so she can make herself one of her nice little alcoholic drinks. I don't know. But these people are absolutely insane. They do not either care or do not understand how things work, and it takes you a while to transition out. And it's just absolutely crazy. We're choking in debt. We're choking to death with people with whacked out ideas. And, you know, I'm hearing Donald Trump, we returned 5.5 million jobs to the American people. Okay, but I remember Sean Hannity. I don't know if you remember this, Rennie, or not. During the 2016 up to the election, there was this Fox character out there telling everybody that there's 92 million people that are eligible in this country to go to work. There's 92 million people out of work. Donald Trump gets into office. He brags he brought 5.5 million jobs back to the American economy. What the hell happened to the other 87 or 88 million that were unemployed back then? You're starting to see the rot in this economy. You're seeing more store closings this year. Already eclipsing the store closings of last year. That's because the disposable income is gone. These people are thinking up creative ways to create new taxes to pull out of your pocket to make to somehow keep us afloat and keep us ahead of this accelerating debt.
The other piece of that too, when you talk about businesses closing, is that you can buy things online at Amazon cheaper than you can buy them, let's say, at your neighborhood vitamin store. You can buy vitamins cheaper online through Amazon than you can if you went to whatever your neighborhood store that sells vitamins.
And that's true for
other items too, I'm sure.
Well, the interesting thing about this is that the bricks and mortar, this is a cheaper way for people to do business, and Amazon is the way of the future. But still, the brick and mortar sales have only been hurt around 10%. By people shopping online. So how does that equate? The Baltic Dry Index, the very thing that gauges what is being shipped in and out of this country by way of trade. We've got warehouses backing up with materials and products that they can't sell. Stores are shutting down at more and increasingly rapid rates. The economy literally is falling apart. They have no tax money. Look at California, for God's sakes. Look at New York. These people are desperate. If it lives, it looks like it might breathe, try to tax it, because we need that money. And where is the thinking that, wait a minute, why don't we take a look at our expenditures? Rather than taxing more, let's spend less.
We're spending, $800 billion a year on the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even including the Black Ops program.
Any guess as to what happened to those trillions of dollars and went missing from the Pentagon?
Some of them, maybe they're talking about there's a tunnel network underneath across the country.
Very well could be.
Area 51.
Could be. All as I know is
you know, there's things that...
Yeah, I was just going to say, all as I know is I've got a government that has jumped out of the bag and they've got a better idea, and they're going to press ahead with it, regardless of whether it's lawful, legal, constitutional. Hell, they're so busy calling this country a democracy, I think people have forgotten what a republic is.
Yeah.
You know, and I welcome these people. I get a kick out of every time the people think that their little social safety nets are being threatened, that they, well, if this person gets elected, I'm leaving the country. Has anybody left yet? No, no, they still sit around and grouse and complain. And what I'm seeing is our government being flipped. And here is the difference. I've been sounding this warning now for a couple of years. I said, folks, we're at a tipping point. The socialists and the little communists that are getting themselves elected are now seeking and getting seats of power at the federal level. Once that starts to happen, they're like cockroaches. You can't get rid of them. And that's how political coups take place. I'm not talking about a military. I'm talking about political coups take place. This is how a nation gets divided. And there's not going to be any United States coming back to its glory days, land of milk and honey, streets paved with gold. If you've got a brain and you're willing to roll up your sleeves and go to work, that you'll be allowed. The world will step aside for you, not get in your way. You know, you can become the king of your own castle, build whatever you want to. But now we're at a point where we're out of money, and it looks like we're out of common sense. Hey, look, before we run out of time here, your article covered the policy conference entitled Connected for Good, with an expected attendance of 20,000 committed Zionists and most zealous Zionist congressional supporters. Expound on that, if you would, please.
On what specifically?
Well, you wrote the article. You tell me.
Oh, on the article?
Yes.
Oh, well,
I'm looking at the article right now. Yeah.
Well, you read about the AIPAC conference. I didn't go to the AIPAC conference. I just mentioned that in terms of opening the article up. But the issue is that there are any number, and we don't really know how many, number of members of the Senate and the House who have dual citizenship with Israel. And I don't think you have to have a PhD in political science to figure out that that's a conflict of interest. At minimum, it's a conflict of interest. That if you also have citizenship with Israel, and the other piece of that is that AIPAC requires also that new members of Congress, newly elected members of Congress, sign a loyalty oath, a loyalty statement. It used to be a loyalty oath, and apparently now it's a loyalty statement that you have some, and I don't know what it says, I've never seen one. I don't, as far as I know, there's not one floating around on the Internet, but I'd love to see one, but that each member of Congress has to sign a loyalty statement. And I think you started this program talking about how, you know, people take their oath of office and they're committing to the United States. So that's what the article is about. It's about the dual citizenship and how Israel finagled the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court did it. I mean, talk about, you know, protecting the interests of Americans first. They certainly didn't do that when they agreed that there could be dual citizenship, and that implies to members of Congress.
And we're constantly being told that Israel is our only true ally in the Middle East. And
well, I don't believe that.
Well, I don't either, because there was a guy that Mr. Wesley Clark that got this list from the Pentagon. And this was directly after the attacks on the World Trade Center back in 2001. There were seven countries we were going to war with in the Middle East. Now, we were trying to...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that we have given Israel, since 1948, about $230 billion. Of American money, not to mention the military assistance, military projects. Some of those are separate from this $230 billion we've given to them over the years. They have free health care for their citizens, and they have free university for their students. and we don't.
Well, I mean, we don't even get the benefit of that socialism here in this country. We just collect the money, send it over to them so they can spread it around to their people. Hey, well, look, we're almost out of time here. Okay, so your working title for your book, and it's being printed as we speak?
No, it's not. I'm looking for a publisher.
Okay.
I think I have a publisher, but I'm not sure yet.
Okay. And the working title for it right now is?
Initiation into the Quantum World.
This is going to be very interesting. And I'll tell you what, Rennie, I'm going to have you back when your book gets finally published. Got to have you back here. I got to read your book, and hopefully more people will wake up. They seem to think anymore in this country that if your only responsibility is paying your taxes, so the IRS doesn't come and get you, or your other responsibility is just to vote to put somebody in office. Well, people have forgotten their own initiative. The people have forgotten their own role in this. That you just don't need to, you know, it's like hiring managers for McDonald's. Oh, we got a good one here, or no, that's a bad one. Okay, fire him. I mean, it's absolutely insane that we're allowing people to run us and run us into the ground. And we're not taking.
We don't have an engaged citizenry.
No.
We don't have a citizenry that pays enough attention to these things. I had years and years ago, I had a new friend who had just come to the U.S. He was from Brazil. And he said the thing that astounded him the most about being in America was how apathetic Americans are about their politics.
Well, now they're
We talk politics at the breakfast, at dawn, to dinner. We are always talking politics.
Well, they're engaged in the process to protect it. Yeah,
you cannot understand how we were so apathetic.
Well, see, here in this country, we get enough money, we just hire the managers to go take care of business. And we hired one of those managers to take care of our candy store, and we arrived one day to find ourselves locked out of our own candy store, and all the inventory has been stolen, and we wondered what the hell happened.
We're definitely a materially oriented society, and that's more important than paying attention to the business of the country.
Well, it's not that much anymore. It's getting worse and worse. Hey, Rennie, we're out of time in this hour. I appreciate you joining me. Going to have you back. There's a lot of things.
Okay, thanks, John.
There's a lot of things we can discuss that we haven't even touched.
Right, you bet.
All righty. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Do we have this article posted? I hope so, on our website here. The Supreme Court and a dual citizenship. She goes into the Zionism issue quite a bit. There are people all over this planet, folks, that are finally waking up to the Zionist threat. A little late, a little too late, hopefully not. It's called better late than never. All right, folks, I'm telling you, I've got to bail out of here on the second hour. I just expended everything that I had to do the first. I got to go see the doctor. Pay him $150 door fee. I guess that's to get into the concert. And if you want anything else after that, it's an addition too. Don't even have the damn money for that. But at any rate, I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully, with another edition of the National Intel Report. And folks, if you're getting upper respiratory stuff out there, I've been talking to a lot of people around the country, this stuff is hanging on for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's upper respiratory bacterial with little traces of viral stuff in there that will not go away.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.